check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. I'ma win, it's a turn, you had a cheat before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Frank Neal, and I still have a trading problem.
I'm Nubs, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 350 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. Rockeford, hold your fists up right now. Stop falling asleep already. Sorry. If I'm awake, you got to be awake.
Getting texts.
And halfway to 700, fellas. Weird. So many episodes. Thanks for listening, I guess. If you do, if anyone is, thanks. I appreciate it. You know, we were joking about how much of an accomplishment that is. And I was like, well, if we had a capability of being canceled, having this many episodes would feel like a much bigger accomplishment. But then Frank's trying to make me actually accept a compliment to say, no, it really is an accomplishment to do this much. Like, yeah, it is, I guess. Fine. Thanks. But hey, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about some fantasy football. But before we do, Nubs, why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Yeah, I'm Nubs. I'm with JWB Fantasy Football. You can find us at JWB_F on Twitter or JWB Fantasy Football on YouTube. I do a lot of content. I prefer Dynasty, but we do in season. I podcast a lot with Jake Perry _FF, and just have a good time playing fantasy.
The JWB dudes are all just top notch.
Yeah, I wanted to actually shout them out. We got Tyler, who finished first in the Fantasy Pros ranks.
I saw
Skyler.
That.
Skyler finished 13th, and Wyatt was 40th. So we are all. I think it's around 200 people, so it's all like top 20%.
I think
that's the math.
I think the analysis on that is that is good. That's good.
We have a good group of guys. I like it. It's a really fun group to work with.
All right. Well, that's Nubs. We are here. We are recording a podcast, I think. I'm not even sure anymore.
It's the non-point scoring season.
There's nothing that we got to do. But we do have some news, Frank.
Yeah, just a little bit. I'll kind of burn through it all, and then we can kind of take a higher view of this. But McCarthy is leaving the Cowboys. Obviously, at least in my eyes, this is one of the top jobs in the league in terms of kind of fantasy players. So coach is really going to matter here. New Orleans and Chicago are reportedly interested in McCarthy. And Jerry, look in this camera right here. I know you're a patron. I know you are, and I know you watch. Do not hire Deion Sanders. Do not do it. Please. Don't do it.
That would be such a Jerry thing.
It would. Don't. Anybody else. I'll take Kellen Moore as the head coach over Deion. Anybody else. Do not hire Deion.
Well, that offense did pretty well at the beginning when Kellen Moore was the OC there.
Yeah.
I saw that on like – Good Morning Football or whatever. One of those football shows where they're just talking about Deion being the coach there. And it was just like, but don't the Raiders have an opening at head coach?
And he likes that. He also said yesterday he likes what he's doing in Colorado. So he might not leave, but
like there's the small chance that his son goes to Oakland. You don't think he goes and be the coach of Oakland?
Maybe.
Wouldn't you want to get him locked in before that, though? I feel like Deion's likes being in the news cycle, so he'll probably hold out as long as possible. But I would think they'd want their head coach in
there. Oh, I would think he's going to be their head coach and then force them to move up.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize we were down to six.
I joked in the group chat about Dak going to Cleveland for pick two, but then the Titans holding Cleveland, or I'm saying the Titans holding Dallas hostage to make them trade up to one. But this all goes away because Dak has a no trade clause.
That's better. That is better. It doesn't mean it's impossible, but let's just know Deion, please. Anybody else? Mike Vrabel to the Patriots. Staff will tell us a lot about fantasy values. McDaniels is a name being thrown around a lot because why not? Again.
But can we just talk about them going from Bill Belichick to Bill Belichick Jr. to Gerard
Bill Mayo? Belichick the third.
Yeah, like what's the difference between Gerard Mayo and Mike Vrabel?
If you ask Zach Reed, nothing.
Exactly.
He's mad at this. He's really mad at this. You guys can discuss it tomorrow, but like he's mad.
It makes no sense.
I don't know how you go from going from one thing to the same thing with no innovation. There's no real continuous improvement from New England, it seems like, since they've gotten rid of Belichick. It's weird.
By the way, props to Vrabel. He talked to the Jets and they fired Mayo like 2 days later. He knew how to get their attention. So we talked about this last week, but Watson officially ruptured his Achilles again. He's going to miss all of 2025, it seems like. Take a quarterback at two or trade for Dak Prescott. I don't care. Just, you know, do something. CMC is expected to be ready for OTAs. That's good. Niners have said they're making it a priority to get the Purdy deal done quickly. And it sounds like they're bringing Debo back. So I guess very quickly, Debo is worth anything right now. I mean,
Debo's worth a second because he's old.
Yeah.
And if they re-sign him, Debo will be worth a second because he's old.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Nubs, anything on Debo? You like him at all?
I would never have been a Debo guy. He's always been like early 30s for me. But I think if he's cheap enough, because if so many people have the stink on him, I don't really hate the idea of acquiring him. Because if you get that double-digit point into your flex spot, it's not a terrible place to be.
Yeah. To me, this more messes up everyone else. But
that's what I was just going to say. That hearing that more makes me like feel less good about potentially like Ayuk and
Kittle.
And Kittle. Yeah.
Pearsall. Second-year breakouts in trouble. Yeah. In the last couple here, Chance Cousins stays with the Falcons as a number two, which makes no sense, but the Falcons say they're comfortable doing that. Deontay,
regardless, so he might as well have him on the roster.
Yeah, right. Just why would you want that distraction though? Because if Penix stinks at all, they're going to want to go back to him. Deontay was waived again. Just go somewhere where someone's going to like throw to you. Like apparently he got mad that they didn't throw to him in the playoff game and that's why he got cut.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
I don't get it. He was doing fine with Carolina early this year. Now they traded him, and it's just been bizarre ever since. Like, nobody wants to throw to him. I don't know what is going on with him.
He might just be a crazy person.
He
must be.
And Tomlin kept all of that under wraps for that long, which is more impressive. Yeah. And then Tommy Rees was hired as the OC of the Browns. So it's Stefanski's offense, though. I don't think this is going to mean too much. He was the tight ends coach already. So we don't have a lot of trades and listener questions tonight. So I have...
As in none.
Yeah, as in none. I have been working on a little project of 2025 questions for all 32 teams. I have teased this last week. So Nubs, you have 8 divisions to pick from since you can't choose between trades and listener questions. I am going to let you pick the division you would like to start in.
I'm going to start with my home division. Let's go NFC North.
NFC
it's the most North. Exciting too. There's so many it good is. Teams there.
So I will admit there are about 50% of these I'm really proud of the 32, and 50% where I was really starting to lose steam and I kind of mailed it in. So here we go. We're starting with Chicago Bears. Who is your favorite player on the Bears at value headed into 2025?
Let's see. We got DJ Moore. We have Keenan, Rome. Okay. I'm probably going to go DJ Moore. Yeah. I think Caleb's value still should hold. Anyone that drafted him really isn't going to be looking to move him. Keenan's good, but we don't know how long that lasts for. And I think that Swift falling in like a late second value is probably his best area to be, which kind of should meet actual expectations. So if this team takes a jump, it might be nice for Swift, but I'm going to go with DJ Moore. I just think the target share and his ability to continue to play at that alpha role for at least, you know, multiple seasons, I think that's the best bet.
Yeah, I agree. I would go DJ Moore also. I don't think his value is that high. DJ Moore, what, maybe a late first? And we saw 2 years ago he produced really well there. Maybe Caleb advancing a year. I think he can get back to that. He was, you know, he had a little bit more of a down year this year. And Odunze would be the only other thought there. But I think he's probably overpriced for what I'd want to pay for him. So, I always like to see it from the rookies before I really pay. I'd rather pay up once they hit than overpay and hope they hit. So it's basically how I look at it. So, yeah, I would go DJ Moore.
Before Russ answers, Keenan is a free agent this year.
Yeah, I thought Keenan might be done on the contract. But it's funny that Rocky said exactly what he said, because I was going to say, well, I guess my answer depends on what your value on Odunze is right now. Like, I think he's good. I think he had a rough season, a lot of that because Caleb had a rough season, especially at the beginning, you know, the first three quarters of the season. If we're talking Odunze as a late first, which feels like he probably did drop in value a bit, I haven't talked to Zach enough to know how to feel about most of these wide receivers, but I have to feel like Odunze is going to be up there with these guys. So if we're talking a late first, like the 108, 109 area for Rome Odunze, I think I would give that for Odunze right now.
Yeah, if you can get him at that. Yeah, I mean, assuming Keenan goes,
they don't bring him back or something.
He'd be the number two target guy there, so.
Because they need to bring in new front office, new coach and coordinator. Like, they're going to get that. They're going to get Robodunze involved.
Mm-hmm. I will say, on Russ's kind of thought on Robodunze, if you liked him last year, this class, I don't think we'll change your mind. Like, Tet and Burden are the two kind of tops. And obviously, Russ is in love with Tet without even seeing him yet, because he's 6'10", and you can't teach that. But, you know. I don't think – if you liked him last year, I don't think this will change your mind. This class shouldn't be ahead of him. So, okay, on to Detroit. We are going to end this season the same way we started it. What is Jameson Williams' value headed into 2025? And I imagine the answers will be a little bit different than the start of 2024. Nubs, what do you think?
Well, currently – and this is probably about a week old, maybe 2 weeks old. I have Jameson Williams as wide receiver 37. So there's probably going to be some movement around. After his rookie season draft, he was KTC's running or wide receiver 17. So I don't think he ever will reach those marks ever again. But I'd probably put him in early wide receiver 3, back end wide receiver 2, depending on where the ranks end up sitting. He had 1,000 yards, so like that's something to look at. There's most likely going to be more expansion in his role going forward in future seasons. I expect more touchdowns, probably more opportunities for big plays, but he kind of falls in that bucket of like boom or bust wide receivers, which are good. A lot of wide receivers actually fall in that bucket more than you think, but at the end of the day, it's still maybe the third or fourth option on a really high powered offense, and that could change at any moment with an injury or something of that nature. So
that's exactly where he finished, by the way, is wide receiver 25. So high end wide receiver 3, low end wide receiver 2 area. At least in TA scoring, which is pretty much playing straight PPR. Yeah. So yeah, I think he's kind of a more than a second guy, but not a first for me. Maybe 2 seconds value, something like that. He kind of started off real good and was getting targets and then really dipped in the middle of the year and then kind of picked it up again at the end of the year. And like an upset, he did have 1,000 yards. So, I mean, that's something. So yeah, I think he's going to be a legit part of the offense. I don't want to pay a ton for him, so maybe even better is probably have him as part of another piece in a bigger deal or something like that. But that's kind of where I see him.
Yeah, and again, Rocky kind of stole part of what I was going to say. Like, this
I'll let you go a second or next time.
No, this is great. I love not having to talk. he's not a guy I'm going to go after, but he's a guy that I would be okay being in part of a deal. He's Gabe Davis to me, you know, when Gabe Davis was good, you know, a guy that you would probably feel good having as, you know, your last starter. You know, you have to start 10 people. He's the 10th player that you're putting in there because he probably won't lose you a game. He'll probably get you 6 to 8 points, which is not good, but it's not, you know, a
big and with upside for 20.
But yeah, there's always the chance he gets you 28 because he just catches 3 catches for 68 yards and 2 touchdowns. It's always in the mix for him, it seems. And it's not something I want to depend on. I also agree with what both of them have said, where he's a wide receiver 3 with upside. And that upside won't be constant. It won't be, like, I don't even think it'll be predictable. Like, I think just every once in a while, he's going to have that game, and you just want to make sure he's in your lineup for that game, because he'll have a few of them in the season.
Can I add one thing?
Please.
I had Jameson Williams on one of my championship teams, and I was down 3.5 points, and he had no other players left. I could not have been more nervous about Jameson Williams. I went to Underdog and bet his under, just to cover myself in case didn't hit 3.5 points.
Yeah, that's good. By the way, two things. Russ said he's Gabe Davis, which means he's going to have 4 touchdowns this week against the Commanders, because that's what Gabe Davis did, is 4 touchdowns in the playoffs, and everyone's going to be all hyped on him again. And I guess question two, I guess the second part of this is, does Ben Johnson leaving do anything for you guys on Jameson's value, or do you think he's schemeless, I guess.
Well, I don't think they're going to stray all that far. Like, yeah, they're not going to be the same because Ben Johnson is a special guy. I don't know how to word that right there. He's good at his job.
He's a good boy.
He's a special little boy. Yeah, you know, he's very good at his job, so the next person might not be as good, but I still think you have a map of how this offense thrives. And it's not like it's a good map. It is a very detailed, very accurate, laminated and everything. So it can't smudge. Like, it is that, like, they'll follow it. And like, I don't think it'll change all that much. Like, the only thing you need to worry about is if we get like a Sean Payton kind of guy who's willing to put a dude in the doghouse for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah,
like, I think that's more of a worry than him being phased out because of a new coordinator. Like, they're not gonna bring in Pete Carroll as their OC. Like,
I hope it's Grubb. If I'm Grubb, I'm sprinting to that job. If offered,
anyone should be sprinting to that job. Yeah.
How did he get fired? I don't understand that.
Wait, I don't know. Makes no sense. The offense wasn't the issue.
No.
Okay. This one's gonna hurt Nubs a little bit. I'm excited for this though. Nubs, is Jordan Love still a top 12 dynasty quarterback?
He never was for me, so no.
Wow, that's good. Way to not be a homer.
Teams are often harder on them than objective people are.
Yeah, he was what, like 6 or 7 before the season? He was up there. I mean,
oh, he was for sure. Like, I love that we've hit team cynicism as opposed to team optimism.
He currently is my QB 15, just looking at the numbers. But what he averaged, like 50.9 on the season after his huge start. So led the league in most multi-interception games.
Yes.
36th in accuracy over the season. And he was like 1% or like 1/10 of a percentage point in front of Dak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Trade Addict scoring finished as QB 14 in points per game.
That seems too high. I know
a lot of that was because of the beginning. Like you said, he didn't score under basically 20 points for the first four games and had a 35-pointer, and then the rest of the year was not good.
I mean, he wasn't terrible. He just, he's, again, like we had last year where he and Brock Purdy were QB like 5 and 6, and I think we all got a little too, I mean, Purdy did still finish at QB 9 in points per game, but like an entire two, not even a point and a half per game difference between Love and Purdy, and Purdy finishing as QB 9 in points per game. Like, he's fine, Jordan Love. He's always just been fine. He did a little too well in a year where quarterbacks were hurt and or not doing well. Like, you know, Mahomes having the worst season of his career being like QB 12. You know, like, I think there's, it was a little too lightning in a bottle last year. So, no, Jordan Love at the QB 13-14 feels exactly right, though he will be drafted earlier than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I agree with these two. I don't think he was ever really a QB one for me either. I haven't liked what we saw from this year. Nubs pointed out some of the statistics, finishing that off with a 3-interception game against the Eagles in the playoffs. So I got to see it firsthand. And yeah, I don't think he's that great of an in real life quarterback, and I don't see him, you know, he doesn't run. So, and I don't think he's bad, but I just don't think he's going to be anything special. So yeah, I think he's probably high end too.
Yeah.
I think it's important though, to kind of recognize with the rookie class, depending on how you feel, obviously there's a lot, we're not even through the regular, or we're not even through the NFL season yet, but I think that this class is going to be a lot about taking the guys that you like, depending on, like positional agnostic, where in certain seasons, like you don't take certain players at certain parts of the draft just because of their position.
Yeah.
This might just be the draft in which you do that. So let's say you have like 108 or 109 or something like that, or you have two picks at the end of the first round. Maybe you feel better about going and getting Love as like your second QB and getting something back for like 109 and 110, and kind of just locking up a position that way. Cause he's still going to be, you know, a QB two, which is usable, where you're not taking risks on other players that may not ever make your roster or your lineup, I should say. Excuse me.
Yep. And before we move off that, since Nubs brought it up, Russ was kind of asking what the main kind of theme of this draft is, since there's not a bunch of quarterbacks. So I went and read some mocks and all that stuff. Offensive line, defensive line, pass rusher. It's a trenches draft.
Oh, this that's year. That's good for football.
That's great for football. But you know, and a couple of big corners that are going to be, you know, awesome. There's some, you know, one guy getting compared to Patrick Surtain. So we have another, you know, matchup to worry about. Okay. The last one for the Vikings is TJ Hockenson, a tight end you are still buying.
I think so. In Dynasty, I just want to check my rank real quick. I think I have him as like tight end 5, just waiting for the page to load. But yeah, I think so. It took a long time for him to score touchdowns this year. I think he scored his first one in the playoffs against the Rams. So I think that will be something that bounces back. And if we look even at like tight end scoring, if after you eliminate the first two, you eliminate Bowers and McBride in terms of points per game, they were actually, if you look at McBride or Bowers, they were 6 points in front of tight end 8. What is his name? The Lions tight end, Laporta. So there's still differences when it comes to the players, the tight ends that will consistently score more points in the field. And I do believe that Hockenson is one of those players.
This has always been a very pro Hockenson.
Yes. Podcast.
Just to put that out there, he's good. And also we can't forget that offense is going to be a little different next year. Cause Sam Darnold is not going to be, if there was ever a question,
we didn't even talk about that.
Put
that in the news.
Just talking. What if they go to the Super Bowl? Yeah,
like there's. I mean, that wasn't completely his fault, but like he didn't help.
He made it so easy for them to move on.
Yeah, so we don't really know what the distribution is going to look. Well, of course, JJ is going to get his, and I love what I'm seeing out of Addison. I'm very happy with the way he's playing. But Hockenson, this has always been a very pro Hock. Podcast. We've always believed in his talent and just waiting for things to come together and just go his way. And they have been in Minnesota, regardless of who the quarterback has been. And yeah, coming off the injury and having a weird touchdown thing, which a lot of the season had people with weird touchdown pockets or non-touchdown pockets, I guess. Did McBride ever catch one in the season?
He did.
He did at the end. Yeah.
Did he? Okay. Yeah. Good. Because that was, oh, wow. He put up 39.3 points in week 17.
But yeah, I'm always buying TJ Hockenson because I'm the biggest Hawk fan there is. And again, Russ brought it up at the end there. He was coming off the injury and still was solid. You know, it was just kind of that general, you know, mix of tight ends that'll score you points. But I still think he has the upside to be more than that. He's still only going to be 28 next year, which isn't super old for tight ends, even if it is old for wide receivers. And he's shown he can produce with both Jefferson and Addison. I mean, I guess we'll have to see if McCarthy's starting. I guess that is a little bit of a concern. But I also think you're not having to pay probably as much for Hockenson as you have in the past. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have a ton to add. So, Nubs, there are 7 divisions on the board. What's the next division?
Let's do something fun. Let's do AFC South. We'll have a lot of probably young and draft guys in this.
Yes, there will be some young and a couple actually too old. This will be interesting. Okay, starting with the Indianapolis Colts. The number one wide receiver on the Colts for 2025 is?
Josh Downs.
I'm with Russ. I'm a Downs fan. So. You can't trust Pittman right now.
I want it to be Pittman, but the answer is Josh Downs. I don't know.
Why is it Josh Downs?
Because he's shown that, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback there. He gets – when Flacco was playing, Pittman was able to do well. It is very rare that Pittman did well with Anthony Richardson at quarterback this season. Josh Downs always saw his targets. You're going to be worried that they're Anthony Richardson targets. I mean, that's the unfortunate truth of the situation, but I do think he'll be the most targeted wide receiver, if that's a better way to phrase this. But I think Josh Downs is the answer here, and I think he might still be cheaper than Michael Pittman right now. So,
yeah, number one can be however you see it.
I think you phrased the question, the number one wide receiver on the Colts is, my answer is not that important.
Yeah, that might be very fair.
I think Downs also, it was at least 2 opportunities that he dropped touchdowns. So we look at that, we had maybe 15 points or more to his final score. Not saying that makes a big difference, but if you're looking at it from just an outside perspective as someone going through the lines of stats at the end of the season, could be something that kind of sways your opinion a little bit about how next season production could be. Cause I don't think he's going to, one of them he dropped, he was like falling on his back and it like bounced off his chest plate. I don't think that's a play you're going to see like repeatedly even next season, where it's most likely going to be a catch if he gets that same target.
For the record, I do agree with these two though. If I had to choose, I would go down.
If I had to choose one that I care a little bit about. That Giants game feels like a fever dream. And like the Twilight Zone, right? I mean, just 45-0 with Downs dropping touch is just whatever. I'm not going to skip Nubs, but Russ is going to go first for this one because this is his boy. Russ, BTJ is wide receiver blank in Dynasty.
I'm very thankful I don't do rankings right now, but can we just talk about how T. Higgins finished as the points per game wide receiver 3 this season?
How did we get back to T. Higgins?
Because I pulled up a
point. It's a thrust.
Man, Jamar Chase was 4 points. Jamar Chase was number 1, 4 points ahead of Chris Godwin. And then there was a cluster of 19s or upper 18s, and one of them was T. Higgins.
That's one
up. Above Justin Jefferson. I'm doing a dance for these people. man, BTJ. Top 7 or 8. I'm not afraid to do it.
Wow.
Look, I love Trevor Lawrence. I will forever be a Trevor Lawrence fan through all the mediocrity that he has been showing. I do believe he can do better. Hopefully they hire whoever.
That was the second part of my question: is if it's Ben Johnson, does it go up from seven?
Everybody in the offense that Ben Johnson goes to, that offense goes up in value. Yeah. He's so good and did so well through very mediocre offensive play. Like, if Trevor Lawrence can, maybe if Evan Engram stayed healthier, so there was more than one guy to throw the ball to, like, I don't know what it is that maybe their offensive line isn't good enough, whatever. Like, hopefully they fix something in the draft and free agency and that offense can run a little better. And if it does, Brian Thomas Jr., like, past the moon.
Past the moon. He's on Mars.
I pulled up the DLF.
So did I. Game. I'm going to make Russ defend it in a second.
And I think he's about right where he is there. I could see moving him up. But he's at 9, so it's not far off from what
okay.
said. At 9?
I'm looking at the wrong thing, though. Am I looking at the wrong? I'm looking at Superflex ADP. I always pull up the Superflex ADP, even and
just always
back and forth.
Just in case.
I was just looking at wide receivers. That might be different, too. Doesn't matter.
Anyway, yeah, because above them they have Jefferson, Chase, Amon-Ra, CD, Malik Neighbors, Puka are all no-brainers for me ahead of them.
Yeah.
And then okay. The next two are A.J. Brown and Nico Collins.
Nico Collins was the name I was staring at on this list, and honestly, I think I take Brian Thomas Jr. ahead of
him. Wow.
I take Nico, but
I would too, Nico, but man, that's fun.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, the age thing is
can I just,
probably an issue.
If C.J. Stroud was playing like last year's C.J. Stroud, it would be a different answer.
Yes.
But C.J. Stroud is playing just as mediocre as Trevor Lawrence is.
But Nico could be by himself next year. Diggs is a free agent, and Dell, who knows?
They'll bring in someone. They brought in someone when they had Tank Dell. They're going to bring in someone now that they don't have Tank Dell.
Yeah.
With the mediocre CJ Stroud, he was wide receiver 8 in points.
Wait, oh yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. BTJ 13, by the way, point and a half, not even, just about a point per game difference. Not to badmouth Collins at all. Nico Collins is very, very good. I like him, but I mean, let's reroll. Give me those 2 years probably difference between the two of them. Nico is 25. Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr. is
22. Is he young? Is 22 there any or of these guys? 22?
October. Is
there any of these guys below him? You would put anyone would put ahead of him? Marvin Harrison,
Garrett Wilson, if he's traded.
JSN, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, all young guys too.
I currently have Marvin one spot in front of him. I have BTJ at 10, Marvin at 9, Nico at 8, and then AJ Brown's behind him at 11. Just because I think we might be seeing peak AJ Brown, but that doesn't mean you have to get rid of AJ Brown. It's just I'd rather lean into these younger guys. Something about Brian Thomas Jr. that I've been very preachy about this whole year since he started playing in the NFL. He scores so easily. He needs more targets.
Yeah.
Like that's the issue. The only reason that he's not higher in ranks or he's not higher, he was 4th in total points at the wide receiver position. I know that's not doesn't really matter due to injury. And as Russ said, he was 13th overall in points per game at the wide receiver position. But I think he could easily score just as well as CeeDee Lamb or better if he gets a higher number of targets because he gets separation. he gets separation so easily. Yeah. He's always got like 2 or 3 yards like immediately off the line. He just needs more targets.
But if it's Ben Johnson, it's going to be a crazy conversation.
Nico is the engine to the Houston Texans offense.
Yes, he is.
Nico's nearly guaranteed. I'm not obviously points per game would tell me I'm lying, but he's nearly guaranteed 20 points a game just based on how his targets should come every week and how he scores touchdowns with ease. So yeah. Nico's great.
Yeah. No, if it's Ben Johnson, we're going to have some very silly offseason conversations like putting him against Lamb and Puka. It's going to be fun.
I hope not because I want to be able to trade for one or two of him during the
season. Oh, yeah.
That definitely ain't happening if that happens.
I guess DLF ADP aside, would you rather have him or Neighbors?
No, I still take Neighbors.
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 Not by much, to be honest, but
I was just thinking about it.
I have neighbors at four, so I'm, oh, okay. I'm neighbors. Never mind. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think of what it would be like with a different OC, how that offense might look if he just makes that jump. But I already have neighbors in
the spot. And the way he was able to produce as a rookie with those quarterbacks.
Yeah. Quarterbacks that couldn't even really get him the ball after week six.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on to the Houston Texans. I tried to think of a Nico one, but I couldn't. Are you a Mixon believer for 2025?
Yes. Yes. I think that there has been a shift when it comes to how older players are valued as well, like in terms of how they are expected to score points. So many people dropped Devontae Adams into like the 30s in their rank. Yeah. And I stood strong. I even had to fight my own JWB crew on this because I kept Devontae last year in my top 12 in dynasty ranks. I said, there's not enough wide receivers who ever in their entire career score like Devontae Adams can. We have to respect that ceiling. Now, you can move him down now, and I'm saying, because what, he's going to be 33. Injury could easily hit. But no matter what, he still has that potential upside in his game. But you have to understand his market value is in such a short window that if you need to move off of him because you're not contending, that makes sense. But if you are contending, there's no reason to ever move him just because of the target share he demands.
Joe Mixon will be 29. So, are you talking about Adams?
Well, I'm talking about either one. So, okay. Adams is 33, but I just meant in terms of Joe Mixon, his ability to score points, there's no real competition in that backfield right now. No. There's no reason to move off of him because same way we look, even Alvin Kamara, right? Alvin Kamara had like,
I was
what,
just
16,
thinking,
I was just going to bring up
7 points per game this year. Like, it's free points for teams that are just going to give like get rid of them or move off of these guys for no reason.
Yeah, and you were getting Kamara for seconds last year, like in the non-point scoring season. So before you started scoring again, so you'll easily get Mixon for that second or second plus or something like that. And yeah, I was just looking. They're 5-6 in points per game this past year, Kamara and Mixon. So I think he's still got another good year in him, and I do think Stroud. Maybe he's not as good as the first year, but better than last year. So that'll help the offense as a whole, too. And he did really well anyway, even with the offense as it was this year.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, if it's an offensive line thing, but Mixon has been bad for the past month plus.
I think it was an offensive line thing. I think his line got hurt through the season.
So if you're telling me that their offensive line is going to get back to being good, then yeah, I'm back on Mixon.
And probably draft one.
Yeah, if you're telling me that this is just late season old guy stuff, then I'm a little worried, but not enough because he, like we just said, he finished as 6 points per game.
And I think he had a pretty good playoff game, didn't he, or no?
What?
I think he was pretty good in the playoff game.
No.
In the Chargers game, he was, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I don't care.
In the actual NFL.
Just doesn't care about that, though.
Well, it's actual football and then leads into next year.
He did. He was the MVP of the game. He was the Nickelodeon MVP.
Well, I trust that then.
Yes. I agree with all this. I do think they're taking a lineman. Every, mock I've read reading up this week has them taking an offensive lineman. And kind of on the thought of Kamara, we were just talking about how the Texans are losing kind of 2 receivers. Maybe Mixon's just going to catch 50 passes. And then his value goes way up. So. Yeah.
It's not like they have a stud tight end either, so.
Ooh. Don't talk about Dalton Schultz.
What, Cade Stover doesn't seem like a fancy?
Yes, Cade Stover. Yes, they're going to become the Patriots with 2 tight ends. Okay, last one. Nubs can go first. I think I'm going to make Russ go last. Nubs, is Calvin Ridley the number one wide receiver on Tennessee in 2025?
Yes. That contract, they're doing nothing in terms of being able to add another guy that's going to be better than him next year. I think he gets a bad rap because of the drops and because there's sometimes he seems to be lackadaisical, but he's a really good wide receiver. It's just that there's a lack of consistency, which I think lends to your ability to acquire him cheaply if you're looking to bolster the back end of your lineup or bolster your bench. And I don't think it costs you a ton, especially with if someone gets excited late second, maybe you have 2 early thirds and someone gets excited that they can take 2 shots in this draft, might be the way to go. By the way, I've been trying so hard to mix in talking about saying off season instead of not 9 point scoring season, and I haven't found a place I can do it yet, Russ.
I think probably so. Like you said, the contract, he's definitely going to still be there. I know they're probably going to get a quarterback, but I don't think it's kind of like the Josh Downs and Michael Pittman thing. I don't know that it matters that much because, I mean, even with a rookie in there, it's not like this is an amazing class. And wide receivers generally don't perform well with rookie quarterbacks anyway, or at least not as well as they have in the past. So I don't think it's going to, again, matter that much who the wide receiver one is in Tennessee for fantasy, but I do think it'll be Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley did really well once DeAndre Hopkins left. You know, once Calvin Ridley was the main guy there, he played like the main guy. You know, he had, starting in week eight, he had 2 games under double digits. Like, yeah, okay, he's not like a top 12 wide receiver or anything, but like he's on Tennessee. What do you want from the man? Yeah. But yeah, he's still a pretty solid wide receiver, high end 3, low end 2. And yeah, it makes me sad that's what he is, because he should be a solid wide receiver too. But, you know, maybe Cam Ward or Chidiere Sanders can pull that off. I don't know. I'll take it. You know, I'll take all of the Calvin Ridley's. I think, Nubs, you said for the chance of multiple thirds, I would give up however many thirds you want. I'll give you to give me Calvin Ridley. Like, I'll still give a late second, I'm sure, for him, especially if we, you know, when we get to the point and see what the draft actually looks like and all of that. But like right now, if you told me on a team that isn't completely young and trying to rebuild, give me like the 210 and I'll give you Calvin Ridley, and like, all right, I'll give you the 210 for Calvin Ridley without even thinking about it. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. And the way I was kind of thinking about this was, does the receiver they pick at pick number 33 and or 201, like, beat out Ridley? Does that mean anything to you if they take someone really high in the second round?
They shouldn't. Let's put it that way. Like, they shouldn't take a wide receiver that early. They have more problems than that. Yeah. But no, not worried about it.
And that even like if they did, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, you framed the question in 2025, and I assume that meant production-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see a rookie wide receiver with the rookie quarterback coming in and out producing him.
Yep.
It feels like a dead man's land, too, with the wide receiver caliber that you might get there, because either you're drafting a first-round in the NFL draft, you're either drafting mm-hmm. a first-round wide receiver, or you should be waiting. I'm not saying that you can't find – it's been proven over time – you can find second round wide receivers for sure. Mm-hmm. They come out of the second round, but in this class specifically, if you're not getting one of those top guys, there's a lot of question marks at the other wide receiver positions. And there could be a lot of trappy wide receivers that don't reach their potential, that as a Tennessee team that has a lot more needs than just wide receiver, they shouldn't be spending a second round pick that early on a wide receiver.
Yep. One little draft take. Isaiah Bond's going to beat Worthy's time in the 40, I think.
Whoa.
So we'll see. There's a wide receiver for Texas who, you know, went to Texas. So he announced today, I think he's going to beat his 40, but it's going to be close. Okay. I guess into my listener question, since I'm basically driving the show at this point, I had 2 things. What is your fantasy New Year's resolution? And what is the movie or TV series you are trying to catch up on now that we're in non-point scoring season? So while you guys think, DFF underscore S Jonathan 02, who now just doesn't ask questions, he just answers the questions I give, which I love.
Love it.
His fantasy resolution is not going so far away from consensus regarding rookies. And the TV series he's trying to catch is Severance. And I have seen all the reviews for Severance, how it got like 150% on Rotten Tomatoes for season 2 and all that other stuff. So Severance is on my list. I guess while you guys think, my resolution, since I came up with the question, is I've touched the stove too many times in this, and I'm finally learning my lesson.
Not to declare Will Levis the QB1.
It's related to that. It's related to that, actually.
No chill, Rocky. No
chill. No, I know. It's related to that. The offensive situation no longer matters for quarterbacks. I have made this mistake with Levis last year. I made this mistake when I joined a league with Rocky 3 years ago. I traded a 2023 first for Zach Wilson because Garrett Wilson was coming in and they had all this new offensive line. Zach Wilson's going to be great. The situation, my resolution is to not look at situation as much when it comes to quarterbacks and to trust the talent that we all knew we saw in the first place. And my TV series is I started Narcos last week, and I'm into it. So it's very good.
I'll go, if no one else wants to talk. So just to talk about Jonathan's resolution for a second, I love the way Zach Reed talks about it, where you don't need to go away from consensus to get the guys you want when you want them. Like, if you like a wide receiver so much more than everyone else does, that doesn't mean you take him as the first wide receiver. It just means you get in there when he's supposed to be there and you get him one pick before that, you know, just to make sure you get him. Like, I get not wanting to stray because maybe you let your personal bias take over, but just don't forget your personal bias, you know, let it exist. Just let it exist in a realistic place. You know, you don't have to take the guy you like at the 101 because he's the guy you like. If he's going to be available at the 108, you just trade in at the 106, you know, and go get him there. My resolution, the first thing that came to my mind was to pay more attention to my rebuilding babies. A lot of my teams, all I did was make sure I got the 101. Like, that's all I did. I didn't try and gain any value on those teams throughout the entire season. None, besides that one draft pick, almost none of those teams are better than they were before the season. And that's not good. That's, you know, that's going to mean it's just going to take longer to rebuild those teams. So my resolution is this year to pay more attention to my rebuilding teams and try and pump up their value so I could rebuild quicker.
I thought of two, and one of them sort of related to what Russ said. And that's honestly just, I feel like I need to send more offers in general. Russ is really good at just pressing buttons. I tend to let offer, I'm in so many leagues that I let offers come to me and then I respond to them and counter and all that stuff. And I agree with what Russ said too. I think I have a lot of rebuilds like that where I probably didn't do enough that I could have taken advantage of opportunities, things like that, because I wasn't sending offers enough. So that would be one of them. And the other thing was also kind of rookie related for me. And just to maybe, Russ always talks about just in case shares. I feel like I needed to maybe try and diversify more this year in terms of like certain areas of the draft. Like I was like last year, I think I was always drafting like Xavier Worthy in that late first range, or you know, I had like no Brian Thomas shares that you could also get in the same range. And not that Xavier Worthy was a bad pick necessarily, but I'd rather have Brian Thomas. I would have liked to have a mix of both of them. Or also a lot in that range, late first, early second. I was drafting Jonathan Brooks, and that didn't work out so well. So yeah, kind of maybe diversifying a little more. And even if the guy isn't somebody I love, just trying to get at least one or two of those just in case shares.
Did you get your show?
Oh, yeah. Severance was actually my answer too, because actually today in a group chat, people were going nuts about it and start like talking about wanting to watch it and saying how great it was. So I think Severance might be the next show I do start watching on my own. Though right now I'm in the middle of watching One Piece and My Hero Academia, which are animes that have many, 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 many episodes.
Which the actual anime or the real One Piece? The Netflix One Piece.
I did watch the first episode of the Netflix One Piece because I was really curious, and they seem to pull it off pretty well. I'm actually excited to watch the rest of it. Yeah. No, but the actual anime, I'm up to around episode 750. I got to the end of where Hulu is, which is the problem. So now I have to start paying to go watch the rest of it. But I'm also, the original air dates are 2020 for My Hero Academia where I am right now. So I still have plenty to catch up on that also. So that's a lot of my spare time whenever I want to watch something new. Like, I still haven't watched the Christmas special for Doctor Who. Like, that's how much, like, it's like TV time. Okay. Anime. Like, I have to get it in my head to watch other things.
I didn't answer the TV question either, I guess. So I find myself not really watching many new shows. I tend to now, maybe it's because I'm old.
Rewatching is so good.
Rewatch old shows that I like. Like, I've recently started a Battlestar Galactica rewatch, which is great if you've never seen it.
'70s,
very good. To the 2000s one.
Katie Sackhoff as Starbuck is just so good.
Yeah, it's a great show, and it's better than you might think. But if I were to pick a new one, I probably would have said Severance. So, because I've heard so much about it too, and I know because it's coming back and everything. So.
Apple, throw us a bag. We'll talk about Severance.
Seriously, right? Sponsor.
I think I got to go with Rocky though, having two resolutions. Just thinking about it, the first one is. Embrace being aggressive for star players because they are true difference makers. I've always agreed that they are definitely setting themselves apart. They are different than the rest of the league. But really having two or three on your roster just changes the outlook. It changes your ability to be flexible when it comes week to week about taking risks on guys like a Jameson Williams or someone else that you want to put at the back end of your flex. And my second one would be embracing... This might not be the best draft to do it because RBs are coming in, but embrace some older RBs. Yeah, I did what I could to avoid that as much as possible because I don't like paying for RBs, so I never wanted to pay up for the Saquons or pay up for, you know, the other guys that were still giving you points because I just don't like investing in running back that way. But, like, I was a big person last offseason talking about acquiring Tony Pollard. I thought that based on his production in Dallas was not going to match his future production because – his play style is such a way in which he can get back to that 13 point per game mark so easily. It's not that he needs a million carries to do it or he needs multiple touchdowns, but if he gives you that, he's giving you pretty game breaking weeks. And I think that's important. I think, like, even looking at acquiring Swift cheaply might be a good move, especially if the Bears offense bounces back, you're going to be getting a guy that's producing way better than his, like, what, running back 21 points this year. So I think that could be worth it too. And I'm terrible watching shows. I don't watch a lot of TV. That's my biggest issue. So I would probably pick an old show. I'm watching SVU right now, which I've never watched all the way through. I'm on season 13 right now of like 26. So I'm like halfway through.
Still making new episodes? Constantly.
Yeah. If I had to give a new show suggestion though, if you haven't seen it, watch The Penguin because it's so good.
Yeah,
I've heard that it's good too.
Yeah. I heard it was so good. I go to watch it. My wife canceled our Max subscription. And I was just like, woman, what? Why? She's like, you got to wait. We're getting a deal. We're getting a bundle deal. So I got to wait a little while before I could watch it. But yeah, I did try and go watch The Penguin.
Yeah. Well, Russ, that's all I got.
All right. So I guess I'll take over if I have to. That is the end of our show. Well, we ended our show sheet half an hour ago. But that's the end of our show sheets. That's the end of our show, just because that's the way I've ended the show for almost 350 episodes. Thank you, Nubs, for coming on. It has been a blast to the point where, just to put it out there, I told Frank to go into another division because I was having a good time. So before we head out of here, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Yeah, I'm Nubs, NNBB on Twitter, but you really should follow our group, JWB_FF, on Twitter, because they put all our stuff and they'll retweet us. But follow us on YouTube. It's JWB Fantasy Football, where I record with Jake for our Dynasty shows, and we're looking to do two a week. We want to do a live one, and we want to do a recorded one as well, just to get more content out there, more discussion, because I think it's really important that we engage with our audience. So if you could jump over there, give us a follow, give us a like, and maybe jump in one of our lives and ask some questions, we'll answer them for you. Appreciate it.
Nice. All right. Our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You could hang out with us while we record, ask some questions, have a good time. We also have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, where Frank loves to go and just drop news bombs that make us all sad.
And we talk about Deontay Johnson.
And we talk about Deontay Johnson and people sharing GIFs of Antonio Brown running shirtless through the end zone. Like, that has to be it, right? Like, he has to be a crazy. Okay, no, we already talked about this. We don't have to get back into it. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Besides that, it's all about Fantasy Cares. FantasyCares.org. Go donate if you can. Not much going on right now because the playoff league already started. But you know, Super Bowl's coming up, so we'll be doing the squares and all of that stuff. So just keep your eyes out on fantasycares.org. And hey, you know, to follow Nubs' thing, go follow us on YouTube on fantasy@fantasycares.org everywhere. Fantasycares.org on all the social medias. And I'm out of things to say and rambling, so I'm just going to say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Russ.
Say goodnight, Nubs. Don't be rude.
Good night.
God.
Thank you for listening to the Great Attic Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Attic Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Attic. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Attic Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.